to teach just for a few moments on the Haftarah portion for this week. Shimon said, this week's Torah portion is from the book of Numbers, chapters 8 through 12. And the reading from the prophets that goes along in our tradition with the reading from Numbers is from the prophet Zechariah. Part of chapter 2 through the opening verses of Zechariah chapter 7. For instance, this is the wonderful passage that though Israel has come back from exile in Babylon, where they spent like two generations, and they've returned, and they're trying to rebuild the temple, and things aren't going well, and they need God's support, and Zechariah has 8 dreams. They're dreams that he has. I don't know if they were all in one night or 8 nights in a row or 8 nights scattered. But there are 8 dreams that he writes about. And in one of those dreams, God says, it is not by your might and it's not by your power, but it is by my spirit, the Lord says. That is how the temple will be reestablished. It is not by Zerubbabel's own strength. It's not by Joshua the high priest's own endurance. It is by God's power, by God's strength. That is in Zechariah chapter 4. I want to back up and look at the dream that Zechariah has right before that one. It's in Zechariah chapter 3. It says, the Lord showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and the accuser standing at his right hand to accuse him. Let me set the context. Joshua is the high priest when the people returned from exile in Babylon. Joshua's grandfather, about 70 years earlier, had been executed by the Babylonians, and Joshua's father was hauled off into exile. You can read this in 2 Kings chapter 25. He knows what it means to experience exile, family, sorrow. And he has come back after the exile, and Zechariah has a dream about him. He's standing there before the Lord, and on his right-hand side is the accuser. The Hebrew literally says, standing at his right-hand side is Hasatan. Satan, the Hebrew word that we get our transliterated word, Satan. The word Satan is a transliteration from Hebrew of Satan. Hasatan. The word Satan means accuser, slanderer, deceiver. And it says that the accuser, Hasatan, was standing there accusing him. And in the dream, it says, the Lord said to Hasatan, the Lord rebuke you, O Satan. May the Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. For this is a brand plucked out of the fire. Now Joshua was clothed in filthy garments when he stood before the angel. And the angel spoke up and said to his attendants, take those filthy garments off him. And he said to him,
see, I have removed your guilt from you, and you will be clothed in priestly robes. And I said, now suddenly Zechariah speaks up, and he wants in on the discussion. He speaks up and begs for mercy. He says, I gave the order, let a pure crown be placed on his head. And so they placed a pure crown on his head and clothed him in priestly garments as the angel of the Lord stood by. And the angel of the Lord charged Joshua, saying, thus says the Lord of all the armies, if you walk in my paths and keep my charge, you in turn will rule my house and guide and guard my courts, and I will permit you to move about among the angels. Listen well, O priest Joshua, you and your fellow priests sitting before you, for these men are a sign that I am going to bring my servant the branch. Mark well this stone which I placed before Joshua, a single stone with seven eyes. And I will remove that country's guilt in a single day. On that day, declares the Lord, you will be inviting each other to sit in the shade of your vine and fig tree. What a dream. What a weird dream. Joshua, the priest, has come back from Babylon, and he has become the priest once again. Zerubbabel, the man who has assumed the governor position, by the way, he is also the grandson of someone famous. Zerubbabel is the grandson of the last king of Judah. And he has come back. He's not able to actually call himself a king, but he comes back and assumes a secular leading role. And Zerubbabel wants to build the temple for Joshua. But Zechariah has this dream, and in this dream, Joshua the priest is standing there before the Lord, and he has dirty clothes on. The idea is that they're splattered with dung. And Satan comes walking up, standing next to the high priest, and the accuser starts accusing Joshua. What do you mean? You think you can come back from exile and be a priest? Do you think you can be restored to this? Look, your father, your grandfather were not righteous people. Your father, your grandfather went into exile. Your grandfather died because he wouldn't walk in the ways of the Lord. How do you think you can do this? See, that's what accusing is. I'm ad-libbing, by the way. Imagining what the father of lies, the inventor of lies, is what Yeshua calls Satan in John, the inventor of lies. He's hurling these accusations at the priest. And the Lord speaks up and he says, the Lord rebuke you. It's amazing that then the accuser melts into the background and you don't hear any more about him. Some marvelous things begin to take place. Then one of the angels speaks up and says, well, take those dirty clothes off him. Yes, he has guilt. Yes, the people are guilty, as the priest represents the people that have come back from exile. They're unclean. But it is not a situation that has no remedy, as the evil one tried to protest. The Lord, or the angel says, take those filthy garments off him. And they put clean, fresh, pure clothes on Joshua. I think it's interesting that God, in this dream, God first deals with the accuser and then deals with the guilt. Takes away the accusations and then brings the solution. Zechariah gets so excited in his dream. He wants to play a part. He speaks up and he says, well, I say that you bring a clean, pure crown and put on his head. And so they do that. Zechariah begs for mercy and goodness and purity for Joshua as well. And then there's a couple of amazing things that are said. God says, this will be a sign that I will send my servant the branch. This is the branch. I could go much longer than I have time for, but the branch is a Jewish statement referencing the Messiah. It shows up in Isaiah chapter 4, Jeremiah chapter 23. The branch is, as well as Zechariah chapter 6, later on in Zechariah's writing, the branch, and it is identified in Jewish tradition, indeed in the Targum, which is the Aramaic translation of the scriptures. The branch is identified as Messiah himself. God says, this purification is a sign that I'm going to send Messiah. And when I send Messiah, marvelous things will take place. The guilt of not just a priest, not just Joshua himself, but the guilt of the entire nation will be vanquished. I'll take it away in one day, on a single day. I'll take away that guilt from the Jewish people. On that day, we're told in the last verse of chapter 3, the joy will be so great, everyone will invite each other to sit under their shade trees and eat figs. It's a picture of the establishment of God's kingdom. Everybody sitting under their own vine and fig tree. Rest, harmony, shade from the sweltering heat, release from guilt are all things promised when Messiah shows up. It's interesting, though, that before any of those things can be accomplished, God first has to deal with the accuser. In Jewish tradition, Satan is understood to be synonymous with what Jewish tradition calls the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara is the evil inclination within us, the drive, the compulsion to be bad. The drive, the desire to be evil, which is what Ra means, the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination. And in Jewish tradition, Satan does three things. He first seduces, secondly, he accuses, and thirdly, he inflicts death. Three things that Satan does according to Jewish tradition. He seduces us to do wrong. And then he turns and he accuses us. Imagine the gall. Not only is he the one that brings that temptation to us? He's then the one that turns around on the flip side and points out to God how guilty he thinks we are. And points out to God that nothing can be done like he was doing for Joshua. The message is that God deals with the accusations. Why is it that we carry such a weight of accusation in our lives? Why do we let the evil one do that to us? It's a painful scenario to carry the weight of that accusation, the weight of those lies. Hasatan is identified in the scriptures of the New Covenant as the accuser of the brothers. The accuser of the brothers in Revelation chapter 12. If you read Revelation chapter 12 in context, it's interesting to note that those brothers that John is speaking about includes Messianic Jews. He is called the murderer. He is called the inventor of lies. He is the one to bring accusations. The one that has come to bring death. Why do we carry that weight? There is now, therefore, no condemnation to those that are in Messiah. Messiah himself said, I did not come to condemn the world, but to bring life. Condemnation, accusation is death. Condemnation and accusation are words of death. That is not from the Most High. There is no condemnation to those that trust the Most High, to those that are in relationship with the Jewish Messiah. There is no condemnation. Think about the dream that Zechariah has. Does the Lord condemn Joshua? Amazingly, he doesn't. There's no condemnation for Joshua. His clothes are filthy. On some level, the evil one is right. He does stand unclean. But the Lord does not accuse and condemn Joshua. Instead, he does away with the accusations, and then he changes Joshua's clothes. God deals with the root issue. The root problem is the unclean clothes. God doesn't bring in accusation. Well, look at those clothes you're wearing. Look at the impurity in your life. Look at what your father and your grandfather did. Going back to 2 Kings. God doesn't do that. He removes the condemnation and he brings life for us. I very seldom at all, in fact, this might be the first time I can ever remember speaking of the evil one, Hasatan, in a message. It's not something that we need to focus on because the Lord deals with that. We don't have to put a curse on Satan. In fact, you'd better not. because he is more powerful than I am. Our trust is in the Lord. But I want to encourage you to recognize that the accusations, the condemnation of the past, or maybe even this very moment, allow the Lord to reach in and speak the breath of Messiah, like he did in Zechariah 3. Before it was over in the dream, Zechariah was having visions of the Messiah, the branch, God's servant, that would come not to condemn, but to bring life. This is what we yearn for. This is what we run after. We run after the word of life from the Most High. On the other hand, if you are one that likes to be a Satan to somebody else and bring accusations or criticism or condemnation, by the way, you are imitating the evil one when you do that. I encourage you, in fact, I challenge you, I beg you, allow God to bring life to you. Allow the guilt and the pain that you hold on to. Allow God to bring clean clothes to you as well. The evil one comes to strip us of our destiny. He comes to take away our calling. Remember when Yeshua encountered the evil one in Matthew chapter 4? In Matthew chapter 4, Messiah goes out into the wilderness for 40 days. In an image of Israel being in the wilderness for 40 years. And he was hungry. And right at that moment of lack, at that moment of need, the accuser came to him and said, if you are really Ben Elohim, if you are really a son of God, you can turn these stones into bread. And Yeshua quoted scripture. And then the accuser took him to Jerusalem, to the southeast corner of the upper wall of the temple. That's not the temple building itself, but yet the big retaining wall that circled the Temple Mount, took him to the southeast corner over the Kidron Valley and said, if you throw yourself down, the angels will lift you up so that you don't strike your foot on a stone. Did you get that? That's from Psalm 91. The evil one, the accuser, is quoting scripture. Let me mention, though, that is what Psalm 91 says. He didn't misquote it, but he misapplies it. Sometimes the meaning of a passage of scripture is more important than the words it says. Things can not only be misquoted, but even if they're quoted properly, their significance can be twisted and applied in an inappropriate way. And again, Yeshua responds by saying, it is written. Again, Yeshua quotes scripture. And so the evil one takes Yeshua to a high mountain and shows him all the kingdoms of the earth and all their glory, and says, all these things I'll give you if you worship and honor me. And Yeshua says, you will worship the Lord your God, and only him will you serve. You see, the evil one knew and understood Yeshua's destiny to be the king over all the earth. And he was offering Yeshua his destiny, again, in a twisted, perverted way. He was attempting to change Yeshua's calling. You can be a king, and you can have it right now. The evil one desires to change our calling. He desires to change our destiny. He desires to change our path, to take us off the road that we're supposed to be on. Remember that story of Bilam, the guy who is on the donkey? It's coming up in a Torah portion in about 3 weeks. He's on a donkey, and the angel stands on a path, and the donkey runs off the path. And then a little later, the angel moves on down the road, and this time along the road there are rows of thorn bushes. This time, Bilam can't take his donkey off the road. So the angel is standing there and on the path. The donkey, interestingly, sees the angel and tries, but Bilam's pulling the donkey to try to, you know, get the donkey around. And this is what the evil one tries to do in our lives, to change our path, to change our direction, to bend us to his rules, to bring accusation and condemnation to our life. He's the inventor of lies. That same verse calls him a murderer. Pray that your life would be filled with a release. That you would allow the Lord to say to the evil one, to the accuser, the Lord rebuke you. And then allow the Lord, instead of accusations, instead of condemnation, the Lord comes and he takes the dirty garments, and he exchanges them with life. In the book of Zechariah, he promises to do this for the Jewish people. The reason our congregation exists is to see the fulfillment of that desire. It can happen. If it can happen for the Jewish people, it can happen for our congregation. It can happen for your family. It can happen for you and I as well, if you let the Lord do that work that the Most High wants to do in your life.